The epistle appointed to be read for this Sexagesima Sunday is taken from the epistle of Second Epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools, because you are wise yourselves. For you suffer it if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is ignorant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame, as though we had been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I am speaking foolishly, I also am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measures, often exposed to death. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 lashes less one. Thrice was I scourged, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I was adrift on the sea, in journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and hardships, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Because those, besides those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me. But I was lured in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man must not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save in my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up, there was given me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, I thrice besought the Lord that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. In the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when a very great crowd was gathering together, and men from every town were resorting to Jesus, he said in a parable, "The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground and sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. As he said these things, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, "To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way, are choked up by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen. But that upon good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there will be catechism class this morning. I faltered a little bit on that because I had expected Father Francis to say something about that because of the weather, but he hasn't said anything, so we'll leave it as the bulletin says unless he comes and says otherwise. This afternoon, of course, we will have Sunday Vespers and Benediction at 5 o'clock. I direct your attention to the notice concerning First Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, it goes without saying that we all know that we are getting ready for the holy season of Lent. And in today's bulletin, there are two very important lessons that we should read very carefully as we prepare ourselves for the season of Lent. Those of you that have been coming here for quite a while, please God, have heard me speak before concerning Lenten resolutions. We address ourselves to just that in the bulletin today. It ill behooves us to go after one or two resolutions, two of our faults or vices. I will not curse during Lent. I will not lose my patience during Lent. That's fine, as far as it goes. But in the process of taking care of my cursing and my patience, or impatience rather, look at what I am not giving attention to. The rest of me goes on unattended, and my usual wonderful, sweet, magnificent self continues to go and irritate and aggravate everybody around me. That's not what we're talking about. There is the example given in the bulletin today of the gardener in the garden who goes after only some of the weeds, leaving the others alone to grow as they will. That goes without saying that it makes little sense. Either you go after all of the weeds, or you go after none of the weeds. Occasionally there is a particular weed in the garden that demands special attention. You give it special attention because it is not a very good one. It is very difficult to deal with, and therefore it gets extra special attention. So it is with us. We speak often of the conversio. We may think lightly of this, or think, well, we hear so much about it that we pay little attention to it. A conversio means a complete turning, a turning to a virtuous outlook in life, that we turn to a life with an attitude of goodness and holiness, and this will attend to all of our problems. We will give attention to anything that we do, because everything we do, whether it be good or bad, acceptable or unacceptable, absolutely everything we do is because we do it for God. Our devotion must be attended to. There is something in today's bulletin that I would like very much to underline in everybody's mind. It's a little quotation. Some people carry their devotion in their books or in their book. You take their book away from them, and they have no devotion left. They carry their book around as a security blanket. And their devotion is while their eyes are focused right on the book. My dear people, in this that we speak of the conversio, if we have in our heart of hearts a determination to love God as God wants to be loved by us, and that this attitude of mind goes with us wherever we are and whatever we're doing and wherever we go, in church or out of church, in the supermarket or at home, or wherever we may be, driving a car, whatever. If this attitude of love for Almighty God is there in our hearts, it is interior. It is totally interior. We do not put it on as we do a coat, then take it off when it's over with and hang the coat up on the wall. This goes with us wherever we are, whatever we do, and into whose presence we come. This is what we are talking about. You say, well, this is the life of a monk or a nun. My beloved people, not so. Not so at all. Are only monks and nuns called to heaven? You know better than that. You know very much better than that. Everybody is called to heaven. And what I speak of, and always remember, again, that I am not trying to preach or to teach the transformation of your homes into monasteries or convents. That's foolishness. It's not so. But I am saying that the attitude of mind that exists in the hearts and minds, or should exist in the hearts and minds of every man, should be God. How much have we spoken about the family, the home chapels? We would like to see this re-emphasized during the season of Lent, to become accustomed to it and realize that in your own homes you have a place that is holy, that you can go there whenever you need to go there and to talk to our Blessed Lord, to talk to God, to talk to the Blessed Mother, to talk to the saints and angels. Does it cost anything to talk to those who love you? Let us not forget that in times past, those same individuals, with the exception possibly of the angels, those same individuals sat where you and I sit, and that they understand what we are trying to do. But they like to be called upon. They need to be called upon. They must be called upon to come and help us as we walk through this crazy life that is before us today. Crazy? Just look at all of the killings that take place almost on a daily basis. Is this the way of God? Look at all of the movements of nature where hundreds and more than hundreds of people are wiped out at a moment's notice without warning. Is God telling us something? Are we prepared for whatever Almighty God is asking of us? My dearest people, again, it is not just in monasteries and convents that God seeks mortification and penance and reparation. He seeks it likewise from you. Not everybody has been called to this. As we look about and look around, it would help if we would run across someone sometimes that believed in something. But today, the average mentality believes in nothing. You speak of mortification, you speak of reparation, you speak of penance. They don't even bother to laugh at you. They simply look at you and wonder, what are you talking about? It simply means nothing. And life goes on with such people as a plaything, running from one sandbox to the next sandbox, playing all the way through. Is that what we are here for? Lent is a season, is a time of the year. Is it the springtime of the year where we go out and prune the trees and dig up the weeds, clean up what needs to be cleaned up for fresh growth, to take place in our souls. Some people have the idea, lots of people have the idea, that we've got to go out and fight, 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 fight for the cause of God. No, I don't think so. I've told you before that we can do more good with one good Hail Mary than we can going out and slugging it out in life. Can we do that? But you know, it takes more strength, it takes more determination, it takes more effort, it takes more commitment to say that one Hail Mary than it does to go out and fight. The reason why is because in going out and swinging our fists here and there, it gives in to our manhood, our Tarzan syndrome, you know? Every man wants to be a Tarzan. A Hail Mary, coming from the soul and from the heart, is the work of a giant. This is what we're trying to put across. The work of a giant. Actually, have you not ever noticed how the sluggards, the ones who, whoever it is, the ones who slug their way through life, if they ever meet up with someone bigger than they, how quickly they cower, how scared they become, how frightened they are, and how they go and hide in a hole for fear. It is fear that drives them to their fists. But he who loves and who can approach his God with that kind of love and determination, he's not afraid. For good or for bad, for evil or for whatever else you want to speak of it, you can't help but at least notice. I'm not in any way condoning it. Please do not misunderstand me. Look at the determination, at the commitment of those of another religion who will go and sacrifice life itself according to their belief. Look at all of this. It has been said that a cartoon is going to bring about a war. How many Catholics do we know of? That would be that concerned about what they think about, what they worship and believe in. How many can you think of? How many of us, me, I won't point my finger to you, I point it to me. Would I have enough courage and commitment and belief and everything else, leaving out the grace of God, to go and walk straight into death? Because of my religious belief. And yet, that's where it comes in. Look at my devotion. The conversion of my beloved people demands a complete turning. And my devotion would be worth nothing if I were not at the same time willing, if it were necessary, to give my life for my God. And all that my God does not ask that I necessarily give my life up to prove my love for him. He merely asks that I will try to the best of my ability to demonstrate my love for him. That's all. That's all. And how much it costs me to do just that. My dear people, we are talking about the salvation of our immortal souls. I am not the one to write out the prescription for the salvation of my soul. You are not the ones to write out the prescription for the salvation of your souls. And today we have to fight this knowingly. How much homespun writing of prescriptions there are today that are supposed to lead one to the salvation of his or her immortal soul. The prescription is only one. There's only one. God himself wrote it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind, with thy whole body, with thy whole being. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's every bit in that prescription. Every bit. And if we want to be acceptable to the God of our creation, that's the prescription that we have to approach him with when it is time for us to approach him. And nothing that I will say or do other than have that piece of paper in my hands, if I'm speaking figuratively, of course, nothing that I will do or have done other than what that piece of paper, little bitty bit of scrap of paper has on it, if that's not in my hand when I go up to him, my beloved people, forget it. Because just living up to that little bit destroys the one thing that he says must be destroyed, and that is self. And to the extent that I leave self into the picture, to the degree that I leave self into the picture, to the amount of self in the picture, to that degree is he squeezed out of me. To that amount. So my beloved people, as we approach the season of Lent, let us not play games. I'm not speaking as though we have to go around looking mortified, looking sad, looking, no indeed. Be jolly and be happy. Be joyful. Be holy. Go to Nazareth. How often have we said that here? Go to Nazareth and see what they are doing. Then go home and you do likewise. That's all. Nazareth was so ordinary, so commonplace, that it wasn't even noticed that it was different, because it wasn't different. And the only thing they could say about Nazareth later on, when they saw him coming out, is he not what's his name down the street, the carpenter? Isn't that his son? They didn't even know the name. How commonplace. How ordinary. That's where you and I have to go, to Nazareth. We must look at Nazareth when we go into that house and see how it was constructed and see what made it so. Let us go home and try to do it with our homes too. And one thing I ask, and so many people do this today, because we have become so accustomed to noise. Turn off the TV during Lent. Turn off the radio during Lent. Turn off anything that makes noise in the house during Lent. You know, quiet is wonderful. And it is also, it's just as addictive as the TV is. There are those who keep the TV on 24 hours a day. They are afraid to be in the house alone. But they're not alone. It's either the TV that moves around in your house, our Blessed Mother, or Saint Joseph, or our Lord Himself. Which do you choose? That's where the devotion is. The devotion is not in a book. The devotion is in your hearts, in our hearts. And whatever is inside my heart cannot be held back. So, we soon will go into Lent. Try, my beloved people, to go into it with the right attitude, with the right thought, with the right thinking, with the right movement of mind, and ask yourselves one little question, and I quit. What have I given to my God for all that He has given to me? Now, we might think in terms of that, of the fruits and the vegetables and the money and the power and the politics and all that that He has given to me. Baloney on all of that. What He has given to me is a treasure that cannot be equaled any place by anybody. And the treasure is the salvation of my soul. Meditate on hell during Lent. Think about it. Hell, and put in there all the degrees, the thermal degrees. We think sometimes it is just the fire that we need to fear of hell. Again, not so. Look at the fragment pain, the mental loneliness and disturbance causes today. Look at all the pills that we have to take to simply to keep us calmed down, because the mental torture is beyond our comprehension in this life. The mental torture of hell causes the very fire of hell to freeze. Is that what we want? Therefore, one Hail Mary might cause all of that to change. Do you not think that it is worth it? We are such poor accountants, so very, very poor. I've told you once, we have two crowns to wear, one now and one later. We have no choice about that. But we do choose, we do have a choice as to which one we want first, either the one of gold or the one of thorns. I can choose which one I want first. But if I wear the one of gold now, which I can, according to my choosing, the crown of thorns awaits me. If I choose the crown of thorns now, which I may choose so, the crown of gold awaits me. And I definitely will quit with this last remark. What is it that the modern thinking of religion is promoting today? Let's not overplay this crown of thorns business.